Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
I got a story here that's a nightmare for classic car owners. Sheldon, John, and Heather all sent it to me. Classic car owners floored after a garage strips parts and refuses to return beloved vehicles. Now, the story is out of Canada, but I've heard these stories in America. And sadly, this is one of those situations where it falls into a category of cases that I'll look at, but oftentimes I can't help somebody because it's too late and the remedy would be elusive. We'll talk about that in a second. But customers of an Elmsdale, Nova Scotia specialty auto body and mechanic shop say their vehicles have been ruined by the company. Felicia Chandler wrote the story for CBC News. Some classic car enthusiasts in Nova Scotia who paid thousands of dollars for their vehicles worked on or restored by a specialty shop are wondering if they'll ever get their money or their cars back. And that's the problem. They say they've made repeated attempts to negotiate with Curtis Customs Radical Garage in Elmsdale and its owner, Curtis, only to be ignored or sometimes charged more than their original contract. Some say they were told their vehicles would not be returned, while others have received them back in pieces. Curtis Customs has been in business since 2005, and over the years has received various accolades, including being a finalist for the 2014 East Hants Business Excellence Award. 2014 is a long time ago, my friends. A lot can happen in 6 or 7 years. Curtis has also worked several times with famed car builder and auto body news columnist Rich Evans. Recently, however, an increasingly large number of customers have been expressing their dissatisfaction with the work being done at the shop, located in an industrial park about 40 kilometers north of Halifax. Some have successfully sued McLean in small claims court. It's Curtis McLean told CBC News in an email that due to ongoing litigation, he was unable to give a formal interview regarding the complaints against him. A man named Mark Dooley first went to Curtis in 2015, hoping to find expertise in refurbishing vehicles. It turned out, he said, to be a big mistake that led to years of headaches over back-and-forth disputes with McLean. Dooley said he wanted some rust and holes fixed on a 2005 Lincoln pickup. He was from the Elmsdale area and said he had noticed McLean's garage. He said it'd be a $6,000 solution or a $30,000 solution, and that would be a better-than-new car. So he said he and McLean agreed upon the $30,000 price point, with Dooley paying half up front and the rest once the job was completed. Dooley said he's told by an acquaintance of McLean that McLean was a bit slow finishing jobs, but the work would be done well. I honestly trusted the guy. I thought he was going to be a great mechanic. It's now been 6 years. 6 years that his car's been there. He's been trying for 2 years to get his car back. Dooley said McLean refuses to return the vehicle and he's asked for more money. Dooley has contacted both the Better Business Bureau, and of course they're no help, and the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. The BBB informed him, he said there's nothing it could do, and the police could offer to help mediate the situation, but really it's more of a civil matter. RCMP spokesperson told CBC News, in an email, the force has responded to complaints at a business. During his complaints, our members attempted to keep the peace between all involved parties. These matters involve civil issues between private parties. Dooley's Lincoln, meanwhile, remains at the shop, and he said he has no idea where to go from here. I feel like it's my coffin at this point. He's not the only one. Dooley was able to recently connect with others who've had similar experiences with Curtis Customs. Danny Hart and Kirsten Hankey told CBC News they gave McLean a Can-Am Spider, which is a three-wheeled motorcycle device, as an $18,000 down payment for refurbishing Hart's 1939 Nash Ambassador. Hart said parts went missing from the Nash while at Curtis Customs, and it was left undrivable. Meanwhile, Nicholas Trenholm said in an interview that his 1991 Toyota MR2 Turbo was stripped of parts. Kevin Schreiner, another customer, said his 1979 pickup truck had parts taken, and McLean wanted to charge him more money. Jim Downey said after 5 years of back and forth with McLean, he lost nearly $25,000 and received his 1969 Mustang back in pieces. And there's a whole host of these stories about people who dropped cars off, were promised a certain level of work, and then later were either asked for more money or simply couldn't get any answers out of the shop. And when they went and looked, their cars were in worse condition or missing pieces, or the guy just said, if you want your car back, take it, but it's been dismantled or something. And I've gotten a lot of calls about stories like this. And one of the things that causes these problems is if you have a very unusual car, it's often hard to find somebody who can work on it. So let's suppose you've got that old Nash and you start poking around to find somebody who can work on it. You will invariably find someone who says, I can work on it. How do you know they can work on it? They say they can work on it. They act like they can work on it. They're confident. That's the problem. You've got to actually do your homework up front and find a reputable place. So let's suppose, for instance, you had a Dodge Viper. There's a Viper Club of Michigan, Viper Club of Detroit, Viper Club of America. You can contact people in that club and say, who do you guys take your Vipers to? And they'll tell you, this guy's good, this guy's good. What about this guy? Don't take it to that guy. They'll tell you this stuff. But I've heard stories where somebody said, I had this very unusual car, some strange car. It's often not something like a Corvette or a Mustang or something where there's a lot of places that can do that kind of work. Very, very unusual car. They find some guy and the guy goes, I can do that. I can do that. I got a shop. You go by the guy's shop, a couple people working, a couple cars sitting around look like they're being worked on. Guy goes, I can do that. Drop your car off. Give me $10,000. I'll get started when I'm done. You're going to owe me another $5,000 and you can drive your car home and be beautiful. So you drop your car off. Guy takes your $10,000. Doesn't do anything. A few months goes by. You call the guy. The guy says, hey, look, it takes time. I'm trying to track down some parts for you. You know how hard it is to find a windshield frame for a 1939 Nash? I'm looking for one. When I find one, I'll let you know. So these things do take time. And there are stories galore of places that run their businesses like a Ponzi scheme. That is, they take the $10,000 in from you and use that money to fix the car that was brought in before you because they screwed that car up. Now, they don't want to work on your car because it costs them money, but someone else comes in, drops off money in a car, and you start complaining, and they start working your car a little bit, and weird things happen. And I've gotten calls from people who said, Steve, I dropped off my car, gave a guy a bunch of money, stopped returning my calls. I went by his shop. His shop is gone. I mean, the building is still there, but I look in the windows. There's nothing in there. Literally nothing in there. I don't know what happened to the guy. The guy's gone. And my car is gone. Now, there is one little tiny thing you got going for you, is that if you own the vehicle and it's titled to you, and what you dropped off has a VIN tag on it, you still own that. So you're going to be able to get that back if you want to jump through all the hoops to do so, and you can find the guy who's got it. And that's one of the things I find a little unusual about the statement from the RCMP in this case. And I suspect that they were not asked to treat the cars as stolen. Because if you say, I entrusted my car to this person to do work on it, they stopped working on it. They won't give me my car back. At that point, the car is, in fact, stolen. It's your car. They don't have a mechanics lien on it if the guy didn't do the work. Now, the guy might say he did the work, but that's, you know, but that's the real problem here. The real problem here is the solution is going to be to litigate. And so if you can prove you own the vehicle, the guy didn't do enough work on it to get a lien on it or to overcome the amount of money you paid him, you can win this, but it's going to be a lawsuit. You have to file a lawsuit. And you file a thing for what's called claim and delivery. And claim and delivery is the notion that you've got something in your possession that belongs to me. You won't give it to me. I can go to court. In Michigan, you go to circuit court because that's what's called an equitable claim, meaning you're asking the court not just for money damages, but you want the court to order someone to do something. And some courts can't do that, equitable nature of a remedy. But a circuit court can. So you file a claim and delivery action where you ask for damages and you want your stuff back. And you go into court and you say, look, I paid the guy $10,000. He didn't do $10,000 worth of work on the car. He's got possession of my car and he won't give it back. And he's never explained why. And that's the other thing. You want to document the stuff very, very well. So I know people who say, I've dropped the car off. Guy worked on it, stopped working on it. Now he's disappeared. I've tracked him down. I know where he is. I don't know where my stuff is. But, you know, a million phone calls. And I go, do you have any documentation? And I've had people tell me, no. In fact, I dropped my car off and didn't get any documentation. Any reputable business, It's going to have a contract. It's going to have a document, a work order, something to give you that's going to say, here's who I am, the shop. Here's who you are, the customer. Here's what type of car you're dropping off. And if the car is complete, it'll be indicated on that. If the car's missing parts, it should be indicated on that as well. So when you go to drop your car off and the guy goes, oh, sure, flip me 10 grand in the keys. Do I get something in writing to indicate that you've got it? Shouldn't you give me something in writing to indicate the scope of work you're going to do? And so I believe a reputable shop would give you something in writing that says, you dropped off your car, you want it repainted, you wanted body work done on it, you want the engine rebuilt, whatever it is, whatever it is. But it should be indicated on a contract. And then once the relationship starts to sour, document that as well. Meaning, don't just call somebody. Write them letters. Send them certified letters. Go old school on them. But send them certified mail. And if you get back a bunch of refused mail, I have people say, but the guy won't open my mail. Doesn't matter. Walk into court with an envelope that says refused on it. And a judge is going to look at the guy and go, are you really refusing mail at your place of business? What's that all about? Doesn't make, you know, that's, a lot of people overthink this stuff to the point of hurting themselves. And they think, I'm going to write the guy a letter. He won't respond to it. Doesn't matter. You want to walk into court and say, here's exhibit A. This is the letter I wrote the guy saying, why won't you return my phone calls? Where's my money? Where's my car? Because then the judge looks, goes, why didn't you answer that letter? But if you go, I called the guy. Guy goes, no, you didn't. What do you do? Whip out a phone bill? You whip out a phone bill and it goes, look, I made a phone call. What did you say in the phone call? Is that in the phone bill too? No, it's not. So you want to document the situation very well. And you need to get something up front indicating what the person's going to do. But as with many other legal situations I describe on this channel, I'll often tell people that the easiest solution here is to not get in the situation in the first place. Don't buy an RV. So to avoid getting ripped off by a repair facility that's not going to complete the repairs, the best you can do is to do your homework before you bring your vehicle to somebody. Because unfortunately, there are people who get into business because they're good salespeople. And a good salesperson is not necessarily a good business person, a good mechanic, a good body and paint guy, blah, 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 blah. And so there are businesses out there that are few and far between, but they're very, very talented. They do great work. Everyone loves them, and they're probably expensive. But you get what you pay for. And sometimes you don't get what you pay for if you go cheap and don't ask around. So try to find the community of people who know your cars. It's going to be a car club, local car club, or you know, some organization that loves these vehicles. And I can tell you right now, for instance, I always look the wrong direction. The Tucker, right? I wrote a book about Preston Tucker. The Tucker automobile. There's 47 of them left in the world. Because I wrote the book, I got to know a lot of people in the industry. I can tell you right now, if you said, Steve, I've got a Tucker. I need my Tucker to get restored. And I want to do that. I'm going to tell you right now, you can get it done. You can get someone who can make that Tucker look exactly as if it just rolled out of the factory in Chicago yesterday. It's going to cost you some money. It's going to take you some time. But the guys that I'm going to send you to are the best. Everyone in the community knows them. You can trust them. They're going to take their time. It's going to be expensive, but you will get perfect work from them. Absolutely. And I would also tell you, don't just trust me and don't call them. Call some other people in the industry and see what they say. And they're all going to say the same thing. These are the guys you want to call. Call these guys. Now, I admit that working on a Tucker, it's very rarefied. Not many people work on them because there's so few of them out there. But if it comes to something like a Corvette or a Viper or a Mustang or a late 60s, early 70s Mopar, there's going to be a lot of people who will tell you they can work on those cars. And the people in the communities will know who they are. They'll also know who to avoid. Because one of the interesting things about human nature is that if you get someone who does good work for you, you'll vouch for them and you'll brag about them and send people there if you get asked. People do bad work for you, you just tell everyone. You tell everyone. So word gets out. And I've had people call me and say, Steve, I brought my car to this guy's shop, gave him some money, Shop is gone. He's gone. And now people are telling me, why'd you take it there? That guy's a scam artist. Why would you do that? And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, it's too bad you didn't hear that before you called the guy. You know? So the point is to try to avoid the situation as best you can. You know, measure twice, cut once. Ask around. And if you don't know who to ask, look at that community and ask around. Nowadays, the internet, this is easy. It's easy to find who the people are who know this stuff. Find those people and ask them, and you will eventually get to the right person. And like I said, it's going to cost you more, but that's because these people do the good work and people know who they are and they're in demand. So there you go. But this, again, like I said, it's a crazy story. It's a nightmare for a car owner because you bring your car to some guy, you think you're going to get it fixed up. He takes your money and actually winds up damaging your car. So you've actually gone backwards on this matter and you've lost money. So it's not good. So Sheldon, John, Heather, thanks for sending it. Yeah, Heather's a Canadian robot lady. Sent this one along. Classic car owners floored after garage strips parts and refuses to return beloved vehicles. Felicia Chandler wrote it for CBC News. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Whatever you do, always give 100%, unless you're donating blood.